Welcome to the third hour of the All Request edition of Morning Blend. If you did not receive the bagpipe advisory already, I'm issuing it once again because Dave Bowling is here with the Zillion Pipes. Welcome back to WLRH.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
This is getting to be a regular thing here.
I hope so.
Yeah. Now, I was talking on the promo that the Zillion Pipes are not the Scottish Highland Pipes. These aren't meant to strike terror in the hearts of your enemy. These are the indoor pub pipes. Describe Zillion Pipes.
Well, they're a bellows. You use a bellows to blow them, similar to a fireplace bellows, as opposed to blowing them with your mouth. In person, the loudness is about as loud as a pair of violins playing together.
Uh-huh.
They have a range of about two octaves, which is about twice that of the Highland pipes. The drones you can turn on and off, so if you're playing with accompanists who don't care for the drones, they'll ask you to turn them off.
Mm-hmm.
They're, because of the way they're played, you're able to do articulations. You can actually stop the sound, whereas in the Highland pipes and a lot of the version pipes, once you start playing, the sound is continuous.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice. If you get lost, you can stop and then join back in. They're a little bit more sophisticated than the Highland pipes. They have additional parts or regulators, which I'm still working on. I won't subject anybody today to except the very simplest bits.
That's not my breathing. That's his bellows that's doing that.
Yeah, I've got a... as a nervous tick, pipers always like to have their bellows filled. So as I'm talking here, I'm kind of half filling the bellows. But I guess the best way to describe how they sound is just to play them.
Okay.
Because it's much better than my description.
All right. We'll listen to Dave Bowling and his Zillion Pipes live on Morning Blend. Dave Bowling and his Zillion Pipes. I was watching you as you were playing. Is that this stick model? He was shifting gears, literally, on his instrument. What is
that's little... the drone switch. It allows you to turn the drones on and off. And,
okay.
And I went to do a change on the drones, and part of them cut out, which is why you heard variations in the accompaniment.
You didn't have to tell us that, though. What was the name of this tune?
That was a tune from a song called The Green Fields of America, mm-hmm. which was an immigration song. From the early 1800s.
I noticed it sounded quite mournful. It had a sadness to it.
It is. It's about somebody leaving Ireland for America. And to give you an idea how old it was, one of the lines goes, for $10 a week isn't bad pay with no taxes or tithes. So you have to go back quite a way before $10 a week is good pay, and there were no taxes.
Yeah. And again, if you've never seen somebody play the Illin pipes, a lot of times you picture a piper, and it's a red-faced, ruddy-cheeked dude blowing into the pipes. But this doesn't work this way. Dave has, like you said, a bellows. It looks like a fireplace bellows under his arm. And I believe, I could be wrong, but Illin sort of has something to do with elbow and Irish Gaelic.
Illin is the Irish word for elbow.
Okay, there we go. I was close. Yeah.
And they got attached to it back late in the 18th century by a writer who was writing a history of music in Ireland. They're originally called the Union Pipes, and my joke is that you can't use the word union in Alabama, so I call it Illin Pipes.
Okay, and that's spelled U-I-L-L-E-A-N-N. So I learned something new every day.
Right, very good.
So how did you get involved in this? I don't imagine you played this in high school band.
No, I was actually a clarinet player.
Okay.
I'll admit that now in the year. I've come to grips with that. I got interested in Irish music, and I had heard a Chieftain's CD, which is actually the one titled The Celtic Harp.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, they decided to put it was the only CD they did. They put a solo pipes track on it. And Paddy Maloney played a tune that the English translation is I Am Asleep. And it was such a gorgeous tune, I thought, I've got to learn that.
Uh-huh.
So I picked up the Highland pipes because it's the only kind I'd ever heard of and soon realized you couldn't get there from here. And several years later, a man moved to town that had a set of Illin pipes. And he helped me find a set, and I've been going since then.
Yeah, I don't imagine they're that easy to find. You're not going to find them at your neighborhood music store.
No, and a lot of people make the mistake of thinking they found a good deal on eBay and buying a set made in Pakistan. And I'd give an on-air warning, don't do that for Irish or Scottish pipes. If you want to buy a set of pipes, bless your heart, find somebody that already plays and let them help you find a set.
And it's a quite beautiful-looking instrument, too.
Yeah, it's a pretty instrument. The particular one I have is made out of plum and with boxwood ornamentation on it and brass keys and such.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really thrilled to have this instrument.
And I'm thrilled to hear it. Play something else.
Okay. This is a reel called Miss Monahan. A lot of tunes are named after somebody that either played them a lot or was about them. I really couldn't find much history on this one, so I'm guessing that somebody liked a lady named Monahan, so they named a tune after her. So, Miss Monahan's reel.
When my friend Phil Weaver, the guitarist, comes in, he always brings a music stand and sheet music. I noticed that you have an index card. How do you learn the notes? How do you know which notes to play?
Well, it's difficult for me because I come from a background of classical music, where you've always got the music in front of you for the most part. And Irish music, you tend to memorize it because if you're playing in a session and somebody calls a set of tunes, they'll say, you know, 1, 2, 3, here's the tunes, and you're off.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have time to go flipping through a music book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I've had to learn how to memorize music, which has been very, very taxing for me. But I find that if you learn a tune by ear as opposed to learning from sheet music, I learn it faster and I retain it better.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much everything I like to have memorized You can do more with the tune. Irish music is all about little variations here and there, intentional and unintentional.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got the tune in your head, you can do more with it than if you've just got something on the page.
And you get the muscle memory, too.
Yeah, it's I'm mainly going on muscle memory because right now, anytime I perform, my adrenaline is completely peaked out, mm-hmm. and I'm right on the edge of a heart attack, so I just rely on my hands to do it. I try to step back and let my memory do it, because if I get in the middle of it, it will ruin the music.
Do you have many opportunities to perform around town? Where do you play? Aside from here.
The only thing regular, every Tuesday night from 7 to 9 at Keegan's on the west side of the square in Huntsville, there's an Irish music session.
I didn't know that.
Is just a group of people getting together to play. We play some, we talk some. But the rest of the people in the place seem to enjoy it. It's all Irish traditional music. Occasionally you hear a Scottish tune. On a rare occasion, you hear somebody sing a song.
Mm-hmm.
You won't hear me sing. That's why I learned to play pipes. And it's a good time. And it's the downtown Huntsville area is beautiful. It's right there on the edge of Big Spring Park.
Mm-hmm.
And on the nice nights during the summertime, they open the doors up, and you can sit outside and
wonderful.
Enjoy the nighttime in the Big Spring and listen to the music.
Do you have a dream venue, any place you'd love to play?
I would love to play sometime in Ireland. I've never been there.
Really?
And I think I would find an out-of-the-way spot, because I'm not so pretentious as to plop myself down in the middle of the country
mm-hmm.
Where there's so many fine players and sit out on the street and play. So I think I'd probably find a cliff somewhere or a meadow to sit out and play just so I could say I played in Ireland.
Uh-huh. And the sheep would be highly entertained.
Yeah, or they'll stampede over the cliff.
Dave Bowling is my guest. He brought along his set of Illan pipes for this Friday before St. Patrick's Day, and he looks like you're gearing up for another number here.
Yeah, I like to do a slow air now.
Okay.
This is a lot of the slow airs came from the old style singing, which is called Sean Noss. And for some of those, the words still exist, so you learn them from the singer. This particular one may not have ever had words. It's known by one of two names. It's either called By the River of Gems or The Fort of the Jewels. And I got this tune primarily from Brian McNamara, who's mm-hmm. a phenomenal piper. And I've had the chance to take a couple days worth of lessons from him on a couple occasions.
Wow.
So I don't profess to this being anywhere near the way he plays it, but I'm going to give it a go and see what comes out.
Dave Bowling on the Illan pipe. Suppose somebody's driving around in the car and listening to this magical noise and wondering, how do I learn to play the Illan pipes? What would you tell them?
I'd tell them first to go out and buy a tin whistle.
Okay.
To get playing the music. Because you may end up waiting a while for the pipes to come in. There's not many of them that you can just ring somebody up and have one. Mm-hmm. I was lucky this set I was able to get fairly quickly. It was actually a new set. And it took me 6 months. There are makers out there that have 13-year waiting lists.
Wow.
And since I knew I'd be dead by then from mischance or whatever, I figured I'd get something sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Start on the whistle to start learning the music, because if you don't have the style of the music, you really need that kind of basis. So then I would say get in touch with me or another Illin Piper.
Okay.
And say, I want to learn this.
Mm-hmm.
You'll start out on a practice set. The practice set is the bellows, the bag, and the chanter itself, no drones. And you get to learn all the machinations you go through to get those three things to work together, which is not hard. This is not any harder than any other instrument. It requires daily practice, or as close as you can get to daily practice if you have a normal life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stay at it, you get better, and eventually you get to where you want to go. And once you get proficient on the practice set, you can get a set of drones. If you're really insane, you can go ahead and get the regulators. But the thing to do is just to get started. Don't put it off.
Are there any special workouts? Because I noticed one arm is working out on one side there.
No, not really. It's really actually fairly low effort.
Uh-huh.
The nice thing about playing on the radio is nobody can see the expression on my face. Pipers have a reputation of having some really interesting expressions on their face when they play. And no matter what it looks like when I play, it doesn't actually hurt to play these. And it looks like a bit like you're wrestling an octopus and the octopus is winning. But it's coordination, but I mean, every instrument requires coordination. All of them do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of sitting down and learning it and getting some instruction.
And I imagine it would help to hear some recordings again to learn the music.
Yeah, there was a very famous piper named Shaman Sinis, and he said it took 21 years to become a piper. 7 years of listening, 7 years of practicing, and 7 years of playing.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the listening is important because the style is all about what it is. You can play a tune really slow in good style and just knock people's socks off. You can have killer technique and play it wrong, and it's not going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be like a machine gun worth of notes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about the style. I mean, it is a particular style, and you can play different kinds of music on this. One of the things I get asked to play a lot of times is for memorial services, the tune Going Home.
Oh, yeah, that's, you know, Dvorak.
Yeah, Dvorak, yeah. Ninth Symphony. I've actually played that on clarinet.
Mm-hmm.
And you also get asked to play a tune called Simple Gifts.
Oh, yeah, Aaron Copland from the Shaker
Melody. Aaron Copland used
yeah.
it for the last theme in Appalachian Spring.
Mm-hmm.
So you can play different kinds of music on this because it does have the range. You can't play a lot of chromatic-type pieces, so I won't be playing the Glazunov saxophone concerto or anything like that. But there is the variety there, and you can play different types. But if you want to play Irish music, you need to learn what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if you want to play blues or jazz or country music, you need to know what it sounds like before you start, or you can get some really interesting results.
I'm just trying to imagine jazz Illin pipes.
There is a piper in St. Louis named Tommy Martin. If he ever hears his broadcast, he'll have me shot. He can play Charlie Parker on the pipes.
Really?
He's a really good piper. He toured with Riverdance
for
quite a while as the Illin piper.
Uh-huh.
And one time we were sitting around at a channel, which is a workshop, and I started up the lead-in for a Charlie Parker tune, and he jumped in and just went to town.
Uh-huh.
So it turned out he was a Charlie Parker fan, and he figured out how to play it on pipes.
Who knew? What are you going to play next?
I actually play a couple tunes together. This I picked off of a Chieftain CD from probably the late 1960s. The main tune is called The Job of Journey Work, and it's what's called a set dance.
Mm-hmm.
And set dances are regional dances used in different parts of Ireland where there's a set of steps everybody dances to. It's a community dance.
Mm-hmm.
The tune before it was done by Martin Hayes, who was the fiddle player at the time. I think he may have passed since then. And he just did a little prelude that leads into it. So this is prelude and the job of journey work.
Mm-hmm.
competitive bowling with a set dance on his Illin pipes. And I noticed that as you are playing, you're sitting across a desk from me, but you are lifting up the
right, the chanter is played chanter. Normally.
Using your knee as a mute?
Yeah, essentially I've got a piece of leather on my thigh. And the chanter is normally played with the end of the instrument stopped, mm-hmm. which allows you to play staccato notes. Because when you close all the notes, you can produce a space in between them. Just a real quick demonstration. So you can actually stop the notes. Mm-hmm. So the one thing you do, you have to lift the chanter for, and you can use it for swelling notes, but to get the bottom note, if you don't use all the fingers down, if you don't pick the chanter up, you have silence.
Okay.
So to get the bottom note, the D, or in this case, since it's a C set of C, you pick the chanter up. You also do it, there's an effect called popping, which on some notes you pick the chanter up and it makes kind of a yelping sound.
Mm-hmm. Not too scary, though.
Well, not to me.
So again, back to beginning pipes. When my son was beginning to play the violin, he started the Suzuki method, and there were books that he learned. He learned these little etudes. Is there something similar for pipers?
There was a really good piper, a girl named Heather Clark, who wrote a book. She actually wrote this when she was 16 in Ireland, which was kind of a beginning tutor. And I kind of started learning on that. There wasn't anybody locally I could really take lessons from. So I started with that. And I've got a student who's going through it right now, and it's a really good starter book, and it's just called Tutor for the Bagpipes.
Okay.
And there have been some through the years. I've actually got one that was written in the 1800s called the same thing, Tutor for the Bagpipes. So you can get started that way, but there's a lot of things about it that if you try to go it on your own, it's going to be more frustration than it will be anything else. I guess it's kind of like hang gliding. You need somebody to help you to start.
Yeah. And how do you pick your repertoire? How do you know which songs you want to play?
Well, if you go play in a local session, you try to learn those songs so you can play along with them. And sessions tend to have a core set of songs. I listen to a lot of music, a lot of pipers. I've started listening to a lot of fiddle players too, and concertina and just all different kinds. Mm-hmm. And I'll learn a tune if I like it.
Okay.
If I don't like a tune, I'll learn it if I have to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's generally, I'm not making a living doing this, so I learn the tunes that I want to learn to play.
Yeah.
And there are some that have some really neat sounds to them, and I'll tend to pick up. Nobody else may like them, but I can always play them at home.
Mm-hmm. You have pets?
I have pets, and they're tolerant. I close the doors into the room, and when I first started, the dog we had at the time would cry a bit, probably right along with my wife. But they're actually pretty tolerant. Since they're not so loud,
yeah.
They might be annoyed or a bit put off,
uh-huh.
But they're not to the howling point.
I'm just trying to imagine. I'm picturing cats scattering out of the room. And I have a coon hound who sings, so that would be entertaining.
I heard a collie one time that sang the blues better than I could.
Well, we are pet-free. You just brought your critter here, your set of Illin pipes to play.
Yeah. I like to do one tune. My mom, who may be listening or not, always says, once you play something, a song that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's one particular song, which is usually studiously avoided by Irish musicians, which is very popular around this time of year. And it's known by some as Londonderry Air. Other people know
it's
it.
Londonderry Air, not
right.
Londonderry.
Right, yeah. It's very important where you put the pause there because we are on radio. And it's also known as Danny Boy.
I think I've heard that somewhere.
Yeah, I've heard it once or twice. And it's really a great song. It's really a song that you can really kill, though, because it has some stretches for the voice.
Mm-hmm.
There's one note in the second part which really either you make it or you don't. And on the pipes, it's the same thing. It's reaching way on up there. But I'd like to go ahead and play that so that I've at least played one song that everybody knows.
All right. Dave Spaulding.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave Bowling. Dave and I were talking off the air. I said, I can't do a St. Patrick's Day program without playing Danny Boy. I haven't played it yet, but now we can check that off
the
list. We're done. We're done. It's only 11:36. I still have a little bit more time to go, and I can't help but notice that you brought something else with you.
I actually brought a tin whistle with me.
Uh-huh.
They've been made for brass from tin for a long time. It used to be a rolled piece of tin with a lead plug, mm-hmm. and that somehow went out of favor. This is a brass whistle. You can get them anywhere down. They're no longer penny whistles. I think the cheapest one I've seen is $4 or $5.
Okay, it's a $5 whistle now.
Yeah, I think I paid a whopping $27 for this one.
Wow.
That was including shipping.
Uh-huh.
But it's a nice little one, and I can play one little tune for you if you'd like.
Oh, sure. You brought your penny whistle. Why not?
Yeah.
Dave Bowling and his 2,700 pennies whistle is
about right.
Well, thank you so much for dropping by WLRH and letting us know more about the Illin pipes. And you have a real job. So do people at work bother you about your sideline here?
No, not really. It's most of them don't know about it.
Oh, sorry.
Jill, it's just between you and me.
No one's listening.
So there are people there that know about it. And they seem okay with it.
Okay.
It's really, really great group I'm with, and they're very tolerant overall.
Are you performing at all this St. Patrick's Day weekend?
I'll be performing tomorrow from 12 to 2 at Keegan's.
Okay.
The next time I'm playing is actually be the next Tuesday night session,
mm-hmm.
this next coming Tuesday at 7 o'clock. And if the weather is not extremely cold, I'll have the pipes out. If it's real cold, the pipes tend to shut down, and I just bring the whistle out.
Okay. I didn't realize they were that temperamental. Again, we learned something new every year.
The reeds on the pipes are known as the Piper's Despair.
Oh, that's the technical term for it.
Yes.
Well, thanks again, Dave Bowling. Happy St. Patrick's to you, and thanks for spending a part of your Friday with us here at WLRH.